Welcome to Tales from the Crypt Season 3, Bigger, Badder, and Stickier. By joining us today, you have been officially upgraded to Crit Cat status. So welcome to the club. Tales from the Crit is an actual play podcast where we focus on smaller story arcs from some of your favorite RPGs, as well as some of the less known or obscure ones. We also play some highly narrative tabletop board games and also some micro RPGs. All of those feature a revolving cast of players, so you're going to see a lot of variety there. And as always, I am your host and your Crit Keeper, Riley Groves. We're so glad to have you here with us today. Now let's get into the episode. Content warnings can be found in the description. Crit. This is going to be a much different episode than you were probably expecting today. It's just me and Tim.
Hello.
We've had a lot of scheduling issues and life issues and personal tragedies and everything going on. And right now, Connor's somewhere in Mexico or somewhere else. I'm not sure where he's at. But we've just had a bunch of scheduling inconsistencies, which is why we've been releasing episodes pretty sporadically over the last couple months. We've also just been going through a lot as humans. There's a lot going on. And podcasting had to take a little bit of a backseat there. But we didn't want to wait too long before releasing a new episode. But we also don't have the full crew here today to keep playing Wendy's Feast of Legends. So instead...
limited edition episode.
Absolutely. In honor of Pokemon Day being just recently, I've got Tim at the table to play a solo adventure of We'll Call 'Em Pals.
I am very excited to be here. I got an email saying that it was Pokemon Day from the Nintendo store, and I said, oh, awesome. So I went to the Nintendo shop to try to see some really low-priced games, and then it was just, the email was mostly just, hey, look at these cool Pokemon photos. And then, hey, look at all these other games that have nothing to do with Pokemon that are on sale right now. And I was very disappointed. But you recently filling me in about the Leaf Green there, that's some exciting news right there.
Yeah, I picked it up on Pokemon Day, and I played it for several hours, and then several hours the next day, too. And so I'm very excited to keep playing that.
Now, did you say Fire Red?
Fire Red is included, or not included, but you could buy both of them, and they're only $20 right now. I swear I thought Nintendo and Pokemon were going to hit me for a solid $50 each.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So the $20 mark is the best priced Pokemon game I've ever seen in my whole life.
Yeah, Fire Red is the one that I do have on the SP, so I might, the best thing would just be I can look at it on my TV with the Switch, and it would probably be a more enjoyable experience for my old eyes.
Yeah, I will say that was... it is much more pleasant. I have been thoroughly enjoying it on a gigantic screen. I used the handheld the other day too, and then put it onto the big screen.
Like Joy-Cons? Like you did the separate Joy? Oh,
no. I just took my Switch out of the cradle and then just played a handheld kind of deal.
Yeah.
And then when I put it back in, I was like, wow, this is so much easier. on my face and eyes.
That's cool.
Very enjoyable. Great times. So wanted to play a little PAL adventure, you know, this game that's loosely based on the nostalgic feeling that those Pokemon games made me feel and has no actual intellectual property stolen at all. These are all original ideas and we make no money off this, which is the most important thing for Nintendo and Pokemon to remember.
Mm-hmm.
Not a dollar.
This is all for the feels.
Exactly. And so I'm pretty excited. We're gonna pick up with your character that you played last time, actually, but he's going to be quite a bit older than he was back then.
Oh, awesome.
So he's not a tiny little child anymore. I feel like he was the smallest out of his three brothers.
It did seem that way from what I remember. Yeah.
So picking up, you're somewhere in your later teenage years now, been adventuring for a little bit, you know, as this world kicks all kids out as soon as they hit puberty, maybe. I'm not sure.
Double digits.
Is
that too young?
Strike out on your own. Adios, kids. We haven't established how late, like middle age, or how long the people in this world live for. So maybe it's only 30 years and they're right in their prime adventuring age.
That's fair. You're 10 years old. You're a man. Get out.
You're a man. That makes everybody that you've met that is like older just like really ancient.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. So we'll just disregard any age stuff. But we do have some cool upgrades, I'll say, or some changes to kind of the way that we were playing last time. One of those things, you are now a level 2 trainer, so you can carry more pals with you at a time, which is fun. So you also have a trainer type. So what kind of trainer do you want to be? There are four choices. There's the investigator, the hunter, the trap collector,
and sneaky,
the old sneak thief kind of guy. Did you get a chance to look those over and decide which one you wanted to be?
In what situation would I be sneaking?
So some of the additional things that are happening in this game, there's going to be checks that the player is going to make rather than just the pals. So if you are trying to hide from, say, a giant ravenous pal at some point that you hear coming and you're like, wow, I don't think that this is something that I want to trifle with, or maybe I want to hide from these people because I'm investigating something in a building. Those are some instances where you might be sneaking around.
I would say based on my experience with the Pokemon game I'm currently playing, Arceus, just constantly in that tall grass crouching around.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think that seems very applicable for my playing style.
All right. Going to be sneaky. Awesome. And what does sneaky get you or give you?
On any stealth or sneak roll, roll 2 dice and take the more favorable result.
There you go. Awesome. So we'll see if that comes into play. Hopefully it does so that you didn't just waste that. awesome. You also have just a bunch of items in your inventory. You've got some improved pal traps, some regular pal traps, and some different items that are going to help boost you up in different ways and take care of your pets, fishing poles, all sorts of stuff like that. So lots of items there because you've been on the road for a while. You also have the ability to carry 4 pals with you. You brought one from the last game with you. Who'd you bring along?
I brought Rock Pet.
Awesome. You seemed to really like Rock Pet last time, and I think you put in a lot of good work, if I remember correctly.
It looks like I brought it from a level 4 up to a level 6.
Okay.
HP all the way up to 16, so that's pretty rad.
Nice. I've also, you know, based on the idea that you've been adventuring here for a while, I gave you some others also. Do you want to take a look at the other 3 that you got?
Yeah, we have Bradpole, water type, second form of Bog Frog. Okay, that's cool. I remember Bog Frog. One of the moves is Water Bazooka. That's super cool. Shock Jaw is the second form of Chipmunch, electric type. It looks insane.
Yeah.
It has lightning bolts for teeth.
Yeah, because these are all hand-drawn by me and I don't draw well, they all look pretty wild.
I mean, it increases the experience, in my opinion.
That's good. I'm glad.
Lavamander is the other one. Fire type. Oh, it specifies here that this is the only form, so will not evolve. This is it. Looks pretty cool. because there are three moves with low uses, I'm assuming that they are pretty powerful. So very excited about that as well.
Awesome. Yeah, and I know the chip, you had a Chipmunch last time,
yes,
right? So we're going to assume you had leveled that Chipmunch up into that Shockjaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've been on the road for a while. So those are all had a base level of 10. Those last three, your Rock Pet, I think you said, was at a 7. To start out here, I wanted to give you 5 levels that you can distribute amongst those 4 pals, however you see fit.
The Rock Pet is at a 6, and I'm wondering if I should just throw all 5 right into Rock Pet, just bring it up to an 11 and see what happens. The benefit being, one of my favorite things I like about Rock Pet, very high defense. Considering it's only a level 6, it has a defense that is pretty even with some of the 3 that you already gave me. So I think that bringing it up even more and make it a solid wall to have in my lineup, and I think that that would be a smart move.
All right.
So I'm going to throw just straight 5 into Rock Pet.
Okay. So let's start out with some of the basic things. By throwing 5, that's going to give Rock Pet an additional 10 HP on top of where he is.
Ooh. All right. Well, I think that pen might be dead.
Right on. There's some pen. Well, there's, you found them. They're right in front of you.
I just hate pencils. I'm not a pencil person.
I can get you a pen.
No, it's fine.
Okay. That's good, because it's a level 10, once you hit level 10 also, you're going to get an additional 5 HP on top of that. Oh, it's a level 11, technically. But once you hit level 10,
right,
you gain a little bit of extra oomph behind things.
Okay, so I get an extra 10 to HP. Well, that's
5.
5 to HP.
Yep.
So that'll bring it to a 31. That's
all right.
Incredible.
Awesome. And because you went up 5 levels, you're also going to get you're going to get 8 attribute points because you hit level 10 also. So it's 5 plus a bonus for hitting level 3. So you can distribute those 8 attribute points across its strength, defense, or agility, however you see fit.
Okay. We'll throw 3 right into agility, bringing it to a 6. We'll throw, I think, 3 into defense, making it a 12. That would leave us 2 to throw to strength. So now strength is a 12 as well. And now I'm just looking through the other Pokemon here to see if I think that that's actually, all right, reasonably comparable. Agility is terrible, but it's got the most even strength to defense ratio, so that's cool.
All right, awesome. So one thing to note, once you get past level 10, you used to throw a 1d6 to try to hit an opponent plus your strength. You're going to throw a 1d12 plus your strength now.
Ooh.
The other thing to note, any of your attacks that you had before, so if you had a 1d4, you're going to bump that up to the next dice size. So it'll be a 1d4 turns into a 1d6, 1d6 to 1d8, 1d8 to 1d10, etc. So you get a little stronger once you hit that level 10.
That's very cool. Yeah, that's some immediate upgrades right there and everything. That's nice. All right.
All right. Awesome. So you got a pretty stacked bunch of pals there. Are you ready to get into it?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go.
All right. What's your name anyways? I forgot to ask that.
Oh, well, you know, when you become an adult in the society, you have to change your name. It's usually a sign of respect to choose a name based off of some previous gym leader who reigned at some point. So the chosen name that I now go by is, of course, Lesnar.
Fuck yeah. All right, Lesnar. Should be easy enough for me to remember. Lesnar, you wake up in a tent at a campground. Specifically, the Snack and Nap campground. This campground has been known for a long time. There's been decades worth of rumors that this is the place to go to find a mythical pal. However, that ideal was kind of perpetuated about 30 years ago And this has since become kind of a tourist trap and now is on the decline. It's not kept up very well. The Snack Shack is kind of on its last days. There's been no mythical pals seen here in quite some time. But you found your way here anyways, hoping that, beyond all hope, that the rumors would be true. And you might be the lucky one to find the rare, sparkly pal here.
Ooh.
However, as you spent the night here, there's very little indication of this. The campground itself has some pretty grown-up grass. The battle center is pretty much a cracked concrete slab. There is a pond. It's got quite a bit of algae. Wow. Quite a bit of algae in it. And, you know, it's not too well kept up. But you did have a great night's sleep. And the day is warm and the weather is nice. So the world is your oyster here to do what it is that you want, to investigate the campground, see who's around, or you can hit the trail and hit the snack and nap campground loop, which is the famous loop where for the last couple decades people have gone through and investigated and combed through trying to find any kind of special pals.
All right, I'm going to, as soon as I wake up, I am going to head on over to the pond, which okay. I noticed when I got in late last night, and I want to see how that view is. I also have recently acquired a fishing pole, so I'm very curious to see if maybe I can wrangle up some fish.
All right, awesome. Yeah, you head over to the pond. It's got quite a lot of cattails. It's not overly big. The waves are quite small. But it's actually pretty serene. It's nice. You've got the place to yourself. The sun's just peeking up over the top of the trees here. And you can see there's ripples coming from different spots on the pond, indicating that there are probably fish or pals.
Okay.
Inside the water, contained within the pond water.
I'm going to reach into my bag where I dig out some kind of older food that I had for the journey up that's not doing so well. One might say it is rancid food, and I'm going to put that on my hook and cast into the water.
All right. What is the official description on rancid food?
Reduce non-owned pals' strength by 3.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So first, you're going to roll me 1d20. Let's see if you can drum up anything inside the water here. So roll 1d20, and on a 10 or higher.
15.
All right. You begin to get a nibble on this rancid food that's attached to the end of your fish pole. Why don't you roll me 1d10?
A 5.
As you're reeling in, the resistance is pretty minimal, but you can definitely feel that there is something on the other side. You continue to reel in, and suddenly you yank a small leechling out of the water. For reference, that's what it looks like.
Oh man, it's so small.
It is so small. It looks kind of like a leech with a larger tail, gigantic eyes sticking off the side of its head, and a mouth that is making up approximately 25% of its entire body mass.
Wow. That's a lot of mouth.
It is a lot of mouth.
I am going to send out Shock Jaw.
All right. This leechling hits the ground. It has an agility of 6. What is Shock Jaw's agility?
14.
Okay, so you're going to take the first move, whatever you want to do. If you're going to attack, remember, it's your pal's strength plus, in your case, it's going to be 1d12 to attack. It's got to beat the leechling's defense, which it's pretty much guaranteed to do, as this is a pretty low-level pal.
10.
Yeah, this only has a defense of 5. What are you trying to do?
I'm going to use Electric Chomp, an electric move. 1d10 damage on a critical hit. Target is stunned one turn. And rolled a 9.
All right, so you do 9 damage to this leechling. gets grabbed in the shock jaws, electric jaws, and just kind of tossed around inside of its mouth. And it hits the ground. It is still moving. And you see it's kind of an iridescent ripple down its body as it squirms. It's going to try a special attack. So it's going to use its agility, which is a 6, and roll another d6. So it has a 9. What is your shock jaw's strength?
11.
It clamps onto your shock jaw, and you can see that it's trying to do something, but before it is able to do so, your shock jaws just knocks it off its body, and it goes hitting the ground.
Awesome. Is there extra damage done because I'm using electric type against what I assume is a water type?
So this leechling is actually a normal type.
A normal type?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Okay.
Strange enough.
My turn?
It is your turn, yep.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to go crazy. I'm gonna do electric chomp again.
Okay.
Straight to the D10, or do I have to D12 to see if I beat something or another?
I mean, technically to attack, you do have to roll a D12 plus add your strength, but what is your strength?
11.
It's only got a defense of 5, so it... You're gonna succeed in that hit no matter what. So
9.
With that, shock jaw clamps onto the leechling one more time, shaking it around in its jaws, and it faints and lays in the ground.
Awesome.
Pretty much passed out. So go ahead, and you're gonna gain 10 XP from beating this leechling.
Fantastic. And it's the pal that gains the experience?
Correct. Trainers gain experience to move up different trainer levels based on the number of pals that they have caught.
Oh, okay. So I should catch this one, not eat it.
This one is dead.
It's perfect time to eat. Dead or fainted?
It's fainted, for sure, at least. Eating the leechling is considered a faux pas in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime you eat creatures that are just passed out, it's kind of grody.
Okay.
But if you're hungry, there is a snack shack that is open. You hear the unmistakable creak of a wooden door or a wooden window opening and a chain lock holding it in place.
I am going to bring the leechling to the snack shack. Good morning. I would like to give one Pokemon to you in exchange for some breakfast.
What's a Pokemon?
Oh, God damn it. It doesn't help. There's Pokemon things all over this room.
Yeah, the most of the mats in this room are Pokemon
like
mats.
Staring at Mew, like... I would like to trade one pal for some breakfast. And I slap the leechling down on the counter.
Oh, yeah, man, that's not really how we do things. That's gross.
No, it works just like this.
Is this yours? You could get it healed over in the vending machine there if it's yours.
I can heal things in the vending machine?
Yeah, it's a PAL Center brand vending machine. There's no food in it. Well, maybe there is food for like PALs inside or something. I don't know.
So I just shove this in that hole over there?
It's got to be inside of a PAL trap, yeah. It doesn't just take wild PALs and heal them up.
I don't know if I want to spend it on something this small. Do you sell PAL traps here?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
How much are those?
$50. Oh, we forgot to establish how much money you have. Go ahead and roll me 3D100s. Actually, 5D100s. Do you have any?
I have 3, and then I'll just roll 2 again. So I have 30, and then 2 double zeros.
Okay, so that's 230 so far.
230.
And then 50 and 70. So 350.
350, yeah.
Not bad.
All right, so you have $350. That's awesome.
Well, that roll definitely went a lot better than I thought. 350 is a nice little chunk of change there. And I can only have four.
On you at any time. Now, you can change them out.
So if I put this one in a pal trap,
mm-hmm.
where does it go?
Into
somebody else's computer?
Yeah, into someone else's cell phone. Just kind of on demand. Like, a drone will come and drop off your pal that you're, like, depositing and pick up an old one and, like, zoom it off to some location in a cloud that just kind of hovers above you. So, like, there's a delay, technically.
Okay.
If you were to try to do it in battle, it wouldn't work. You know, you might have to trade out in between things. But, yeah, it's all a cloud-based system.
All right. Yeah, it fainted. I didn't catch it, so I don't get it, right?
Yeah.
Perfect. I should stop touching it then, probably.
Probably. You know, they typically recover after they've been just, like, left alone for a while. I imagine. Otherwise, the world's just littered with half-dead fucking pals.
Oh, that's a whole different game. Okay. What are the, that's an okay price for a pal trap. I'll take one of those. And do you have any breakfast?
I've got some rice balls and some sports drinks. I don't know why they call it a snack shack. Really, I got, like, you know, I got bouncy balls and shit and, like, lures for the pond.
What's a bouncy ball?
Oh, it's like this rubber ball. I don't know. Some pals like them, I guess. I don't know. They get some kind of benefit from them. I've got the exotic music box too, but you know, that's pretty.
How much is an exotic music box?
$200. But let me tell you, it's worth it. And he takes off his beanie snapback combo and puts it to his chest. I swear, this is the best thing to try to attract that super rare, sparkly pal up the trail there.
This boombox is gonna get me the sparkles.
Yeah, that's what it's intended to do.
I do want the sparkles.
It's pretty rare, you know.
The sparkles or this boombox?
Both.
Mm. You drive a hard bargain.
Yeah, usually.
I'll tell you what. I'll take that boombox off your hands if you throw in the pal trap.
I'll throw in a pal trap. All right. Make me just a D20 roll. This will just be a trainer roll.
19. The biggest, heaviest dice to ever be recorded on this table. I shouldn't have thrown that.
For sure. That was the heaviest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, I could definitely do that. That seems good. I only have a couple pal traps left anyways.
Awesome. All right. Here's 200, buddy.
All right, and he gives you the exotic music box and a regular pal trap.
Nice. So do I have to see the sparkle thing, and then I crank this little knobby here and it starts playing the music, or do I just have it playing all the time as I walk around?
I mean, I would, like, sit down. You're going to want to go somewhere and then, like, crank it, like, somewhere secluded, right? Make sure there's no one else.
You should always crank it in a secluded location.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotcha.
If I haven't been caught 3 times for that same thing, I haven't been caught at all. But, yeah, so just find a nice place to sit for a while, crank that box, and just wait. And then hopefully it shows up.
All right, that sounds great. Thanks, brother. I'll see you later.
Yeah, all right.
And I'm going to start hiking up the trail toward that loop with my new exotic music box. I get to go crank in seclusion.
All right. You begin to make your way down, and the first section you run into is section number one. With the campsite still in view, you see some kids playing, but they're quickly scared away after a skeeter comes flying out from the bushes, and they go skittering back down towards the campground. And you're in this section, so you can look for an item, you can look for a pal,
I'm gonna look for a pal.
All right.
Do I have to emphasize? Yeah, I want to emphasize I'm sneaking, right?
At this point, you don't necessarily have to sneak, but if you want to be sneaking, you can sneak. I'll give you, when hunting for a pal, I'll give you a +2 if you're sneaking to your roll.
All right. I see the kids running away, and I'm immediately going to crouch down and just start crouch walking toward it. So I'm going to get it. I'm going to get that skeeter.
You're going to get the skeeter? All right, it's buzzing around. Go ahead and roll me a d20, and then you're going to add 2 to your roll.
Nat 20.
A natural 20. Fuck yeah. That's dope. So go ahead and roll me a d10.
Another 9. Wow.
As you're sneaking towards this skeeter that's just kind of buzzing around near the edge of the bushes, you get really pretty close to it before suddenly another pal leaps from the bushes and snatches it out of the air, clamping it down in gigantic jaws, and just eats it immediately. And standing in front of you is a large eight-legged insect, and 4 of its arms look like they have blades on them, and it has 4 large wings. And this is a Gruvarius, which is a bug type pal, and it looks pretty menacing. Wow. And it is now standing in front of you, looking at you like you're going to be its next little snack.
All right, I am... Oh, man. I'm going to... Oh, man. A bug type?
It is a bug type.
I'm going to throw out my Bradpole.
All right. All right. What is your Bradpole's agility?
12.
Okay, the Gruvarius only has an agility of 10, so your Bradpole gets the first attack.
All right, so I got to roll a d12.
Yep, plus your strength.
Whoop. 8 plus 14, 22.
All right, that definitely beats the Gruvarius's defense.
All right.
So that's just for attacks. If you're going to use a special attack or a boost, you're going to have to roll something else, FYI, so if you are looking at using something else, we'll walk through that if it's not just a regular attack.
Okay. I'm attacking with the super mega tadpole punch attack.
Okay. That is just an attack, right?
It says attack, yeah. Water. Charge 2 times.
Okay. So you're going to have to charge that up twice
before... Oh, to use it.
Yeah.
Oh. Shoot. No, I'm going to go with the water bazooka attack.
Okay.
1d10 damage. 7.
7 damage? All right. The Gruvarius gets blasted back by this water, and it starts flapping its wings, trying to knock off some of the water that is accumulated on them. And it is going to begin flashing those wings and trying to distract your Bradpole with flashing distraction. So it's going to use a special attack. So it's going to use its agility, which is a 10 plus 8. Does 18 beat your agility?
Yes.
All right. Your accuracy is going to be impaired on your next attack. So you're going to roll 2 d20s and take the worst roll on that on your next attack.
Okay.
But it is your turn.
I'm gonna use Slippery When Wet, which is a boost. It increases agility by 2.
Okay, so on a boost, you're going to if your pal is above level 10, you're gonna roll a d20
at level 10.
At or above level 10.
Oh, okay. So, D20?
Yep, D20, and you're going to try to roll under your agility score.
I got a 16. My agility is a 12.
Ah, so that boost is unsuccessful.
Mm.
The Gravarius flies wildly and menacingly at your Bradpole. Does an 18 beat your defense?
Yes.
All right. It is going to start attacking with all four of its scythe-like claws. Does 7 damage on the first attack. What's your defense anyways?
9.
Oh. All right. Does 5 on the second attack. 4 on the third attack. And 5 on its fourth attack.
Crazy.
It's a pretty strong... I would call it a small bug, but it's not a small bug at all. You rolled pretty much the second highest thing that you could find here.
I am going to... I'm going to go for the water bazooka.
And okay.
What was the limitation I have from the one effect?
Roll 2d20 and take the lower result.
14.
14 matches its defense, so you are good.
All right, 1d10 of damage with water bazooka. Oh, no. A 1.
Ugh. All right, not a great hit, but a hit nonetheless. It lets out a screech of dismay, reducing your agility by 1.
Okay. I'm gonna go for the water bazooka thing.
All right.
And then I don't need to do, it's just 1d20 this time?
Correct. Yep.
17.
Yeah, that definitely hits.
A 2.
All right. This thing's got pretty good stats. So does a 22 beat your defense? Yeah, you got a 9, right?
Yeah.
All right. It comes in and it chomps with its large mandibles. However, it only hits for 1 damage.
Okay. I'm going to try to do the I'm going to charge for my Mega Tadpole punch.
Okay. Does an 18 beat your strength?
Yes.
All right. Its wings glow again. And it casts Flashing Distraction, which would make your next move impaired.
Okay.
I think that's a good thing on Mega Tadpole Punch.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. So your next attack is going to be with impaired accuracy again, but it is your turn, however you're charging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to go again. Does an 11 beat your strength?
No.
Okay. So this is your second turn charging.
Yep.
And a 15 beats your defense, right?
Yes.
All right. How much HP do you have left anyways?
8.
All right. It does... Wow, that's actually confusing. Is that a 2 or a 5?
You got me from 30 to 9 in the first attack. 21 points of damage.
It chomps... It pinches you again with its mandibles, doing 2 damage.
Ooh.
And it is your turn. That Mega Tadpole Punch is ready to fire.
All right. This attack ignores accuracy impairments. If accuracy is impaired when Super Mega Tadpole Punch, then attacks with improved instead.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, that was pretty lucky. So go ahead, roll 2d20, and you're going to take the higher result to attack.
Oh, okay. All right, there we got a 15 and a nat 1.
Actually, it should be 2d12. Why am I keep saying it? 2d20. So it should be 2d12 when you attack.
Plus strength?
Yes.
Gotcha. All right. So I got a 23. That was what I got. 23.
Yeah, 23 definitely hits.
All right.
How much damage does that do?
3d8.
Oh, shit. All right.
8 plus 7. All right, 15.
Now, personal question. Do you want a chance at catching this thing, or do you want to murder it?
I would prefer to catch this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on. You land a not insignificant amount of damage to it, and it hits the ground, and its eyes are flashing and flickering. It looks like it's on its last legs. You have a chance to catch it if you wanted to. I know you have both regular pal traps and improved pal traps.
Ooh, man, that could be tough. All right, I'm going to go for a better pal trap.
Yeah, better pal trap. I think you roll a d20 to try.
2d20 with a better pal trap.
Gotcha.
Versus the pal's strength, combined strength and health points.
Gotcha.
So that's a 35, a nat 20, and a 15.
Yeah, you throw the trap, and it hits the pal, and the pal magically gets sucked inside, and this triangular trap hits the ground and only rocks slightly 3 times before the seal indicates that it is completely sealed and the pal is inside. And you got yourself a level 11 Grevarious, which is a second form of the Crickhopper.
Nice. That one special attack was crazy.
Yeah, it's got a 4 attack, which is pretty great with its stats. It's a pretty hefty pal here. So this is pretty much a play test to see how things go above level 10, because we didn't barely get there last time we played. So this is going to give some pretty good information overall. So I appreciate you play testing with me.
Oh, excited to be here. I am trying to figure out which pal I am keeping and which one must go through the cell phone into the cloud. It's so strong.
It is quite beefy, and I felt really bad after Crickhopper got just so much hate last time, especially from Stefan. Whoever Stefan was playing, he really hated the Crickhoppers, so I felt like it needed a pretty big upgrade.
I feel like I'm gonna get rid of the lava, but it's always good to have fire. It's just that it's got a strength of 10, a defense of 10, agility 10. Just not a lot going on, but that does some pretty cool specials. Shockjaw I gotta keep, been with me since the beginning. Bradpole was okay. The defense of 9 is rough. That's really hard to hang around with. Ooh, I am going to send the Bradpole to the cloud.
All right. As you do that, a drone flies over and grabs the Bradpole, lifting it off to the cloud. And because you're not replacing it with another one on your phone, you have your 4 on your belt.
Awesome. Cool. All right. I feel good about this. Can I search for a trap?
Yeah, you can search.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll 1d20.
Oh, 3.
3. This area has been pretty picked over. You know, it's really close to the campground.
Mm.
There's kids running around and stuff too. You know, if you're going to go in the loop and you're not going to do the full loop, there's just a lot of traffic here. So maybe not as many items.
All right. I'm going to continue forward to the second portion of the trail loop.
The trees are a bit bigger in this section, and there's a small stream that runs through it. It's not deep enough to contain any pals, though, sadly. Just a little bit of some water running through. But not too much going on here. There's not really any people in this section either. You pretty much have it to yourself.
All right. I am going to sit down among the large trees and privately start cranking my box.
You begin to play this music box, and it lets out, it's not like an annoying noise, it's not anything special either. It's just a tune that you might think that a snack shack selling music boxes might produce. That's pretty much what it sounds like. It's pretty tinny. But you play it all the way to the end, and you sit there for quite some time. Roll me a d20.
Oh, shit. Nat 1. If this box breaks, I'm going back to the snack shack. I'm shoving that guy into a pal trap and putting him in the vending machine.
From far away, you can start to hear something coming. You hear a small buzzing. And you're like, what is that? And you're wondering, and you're wondering. And suddenly, you begin to feel a little needle sticking into the back of your neck. As you swat your hand away, you realize that there is a swarm of skeeters have just come around you.
I hate skeeters. All right, I mean, we're going for it. We're going to do the, we're pulling out Rock Pet.
As you look around, you realize you're like surrounded on all sides by skeeters. There are two skeeters, and then one that looks like a mega skeeter. It's actually got large, more bird-like wings. The rest of its body looks very similar to a skeeter, and all three of them set upon you and your Rock Pet.
Can I get a turn in attack initiative? if I'm physically being attacked by a Pokemon?
I will let you roll 1d20 right now to do an unarmed attack to a pal.
Yes. 18.
All right. Roll me 1d6. I'm assuming you're striking at the pal or the skeeter that bit you.
Oh, yeah. 5.
All right. What is Rock Pet's agility?
6.
All right. You smoke one of these skeeters with just like a punch, and it hits the ground momentarily and is like floating back up. You stun this bug.
Nice.
Type pal. Really pretty good. It's going to actually miss its first turn to go. And you said 5 was... What's
6 agility.
Okay. The Jer's Bird, which is the second form of a skeeter, does go first. Does an 8 beat your defense?
No.
All right. The Jer's Bird plunges its long needle-like nose towards the Rock Pet, but its rocky carapace is much too strong, and it just kind of goes bouncing off, and it returns back to its spot. Rock Pet, it is your turn.
All right. Rock Pet is going to go for the skeeter who was not stunned.
Okay.
So it's a 10 plus 12, 22.
Yeah, definitely hits.
All right. And we're going to do Rock Toss, which is just 1d6 damage. Oh, man, 2.
All right. The skeeter that you just hit flies at you. Does a 10 beat your strength?
No.
It tries to deliver a disease to your Rock Pet, but similar to the other Jer's Bird, it does not land anything because it is just simply not strong enough. Does a 6 beat your defense?
No.
The Jer's Bird flies over to your Rock Pet, and a little tongue actually comes out of its...
Gross.
Yeah, and it tries to get a little lick on it. However, your Rock Pet rolls just slightly to the left, totally evading the Jer's Bird's attack.
Nice.
And it is Rock Pet's turn once again.
That's another 22. Let's see if we can get something more exciting. 4.
Which one are you targeting?
Oh, I'm going for that same one I hit the first time.
All right. With a 4, you knock it right out of the air, and it faints on the ground.
Nice.
The one that is left, though, that you had punched, tries to sting you. However, a 2 does not beat anything, so it is unsuccessful at doing so.
Nice.
Does a 13 beat your strength?
Yes.
This Jer's Bird flies in, and it manages to find a little crack, and you can see like a little globule of something moving through its needle-like nose and being delivered into your Rock Pet. You're going to reduce your highest attribute by 1 just for this battle.
It's a tie.
Your choice.
Okay.
Which one did you reduce anyways?
Strength.
Gotcha.
All right.
It is Rock Pet's turn.
I'm coming for the J one.
Jer's Bird?
Jer's Bird. So that's called the Jizz Bird. I don't think that's it.
The pun here being New Jersey's state bird is known as the mosquito.
Oh, that's hilarious. 12.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely. No way. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to use a super pal punch.
Okay.
Normal attack. 1d10 of damage. So that's going to be a 4, and it reduces the target's defense by 1.
All right. Also, normal, it is a normal type attack, right?
Yes.
Normal is strong against bug type.
Ooh.
Something I've forgotten every other time so far. So that's actually 8 damage, right?
Oh, because it's double.
Yep.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
And you reduce Welp by 1?
Target's defense.
All right. It didn't really need that to happen.
Not going to make a difference. Going to hit it either way.
Yeah. On a 3, the other Skeeter comes flying in, trying to find that same crack. Does a 3 beat your defense?
No.
Yeah. It just stubs its nose into your rocky body. But does a 13 beat your strength?
Yes.
Okay. It's going to reduce your highest attribute by 1. As it finds that, as the Jersbird finds that crack again and delivers a bit more of whatever noxious disease is stored inside its head.
Okay. I am going to rock toss. It's an 11 plus 11, 22.
Mm-hmm.
And D6. Jesus. 5.
And is that a normal type move or is it a rock?
Rock. They all say right. Rock.
This Jersbird is looking really pretty rough. On a 5, the Skeeter comes flying at you personally. Do you want to try to take another swing at it?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's see a D20 just for an unarmed strike.
12.
All right. That's a hit.
D6?
Sure.
6.
All right.
6.
Oh, my God.
3.
All right. So you do 15 damage on a critical hit. It only had 1 HP left. You just absolutely obliterate this thing. We'll say this one dies. That Skeeter's done. So...
Gotcha, bitch.
Does a 9 beat your defense?
No.
Okay. The Jersbird tries to attack furiously after watching all of its friends get obliterated. However, it is still unsuccessful at landing an attack.
All right. I'm going to go for another super pow punch.
Okay.
18?
Yeah.
And it's a normal, so it's going to be 6 total.
Rockpat throws a super pow punch and knocks this Jersbird out of the air. All 3 of these bugs are now laying either knocked out or dead on the ground.
Awesome.
And that's where we're going to end it for today.
Awesome.
We will
see you next Tuesday.
Enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed playing. If you have, go run and tell all your friends so that we can turn as many people into crit cats as possible. Tales from the Crit is a Wolfbeard Games audio podcast, and if you like us, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts, and head on over to our Instagram page and our YouTube channel. Both of those are at Tales from the Crit Podcast. All right, bye-bye.